Corinne. Jesus. Do a roll call. Mayor's office is vacant. Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez. Not present. Ward 2, Commissioner Burke.
Present.
Ward 3, Commissioner Hunter.
Present.
Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews. Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Present.
And Ward 6, Vice Chair Pollack.
Present.
And we do have four.
Has everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes.
And one yes.
I'll move approval. Bruce Burke.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Lois Pollack.
Any discussion? Hearing none, can we take a vote?
Commissioner Burke.
Yes.
Commissioner Hunter.
Yeah.
Commissioner, Chairperson Clark.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Pollack.
Yes.
Motion passes. We smoked. And our second agenda.
Mr. Chairman, just as Bruce Burke, just to make note of it, this will be the last meeting where I have to check out about 3:55. So I want that to be everyone to be aware.
Yes.
The next agenda item is staff update. We do have Vivian Neuscheller online, and I believe she's giving an update.
Yep, I'm here. Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and commission members. So BSD update, we got a few major things going on. So we are closing up or finishing up the fiscal year 23 annual comprehensive financial report. So working on that, we are also starting to talk about the fiscal year 25 or starting to work on current year projections with departments so that we can begin kick off the development of the fiscal year 25 budget cycle. So that's going on. So quarterly meetings are going on right now with the department heads. Then next is we've had several vacancies, as a matter of fact, many vacancies with the department in a couple of key positions, and that would be finance administrators and finance managers. So we've had vacancies in some real major critical areas. So we had a one-day event. I don't know. It was advertised on the KVOA. We had an advertisement. And we had a one-day event where we had candidates had the opportunity to walk in up to a certain time during the day. We had four sets of panel members to conduct the interviews. We even set it up where we had planned to do same day offers to finance manager candidates. So, it was our first event ever, very successful. So we have, many candidates who made what we call a certification list, which is a list that we can select folks off of to make job offers to. So we've made, job offers to, half of the candidates that made those lists. So, go ahead. Did somebody ask a question?
I'm sorry. How many? You said half. How many?
So, right now we've made job offers to seven folks, seven candidates. Say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. You
cut out. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no worries. No problem. I'm almost done anyway. So it was a very successful event. Hopefully, I'm counting on not having to conduct another one soon, and we can get some good folks in the door and get them placed in position so we could start training and getting folks, trained up and in those positions for quite some time.
How long does it take to train a newbie?
Probationary period is usually a year, but depending on the area that we place or these folks, it could take more than a year. It just depends on the position. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yep.
How are you managing all of those tasks when it'll be a year before these new people can fill the gaps?
Well, we have folks that are doing more work, helping manage that work that is supposed to be handled by other folks. Now, the positions that we recruited for are at the mid-manager level. So there are folks, for example, accounting techs, senior account clerks, financial specialists that are currently taking on the transactional side of the workload. Now, managers go in, of course, and they do assist with that and are responsible for the, like, for example, a financial statement for the ACFR or the budget development for a specific department. They have folks to do that. So we do have folks that help out with that already to get the transactional side done. And we have other folks that are just taking on more departments.
I see that Commissioner Pollack has her hand up.
Commissioner, does somebody analyze why people are leaving? I'm assuming these aren't new positions because you were.
They're
saying,
not.
Yeah.
No, and they're so, not. They're not new.
Okay.
They're and not so, new positions.
Does somebody look at why people are leaving?
I think we're seeing that not only here at the city of Tucson, but there are. This is a nationwide issue where businesses or governmental entities are having difficulties with recruiting folks and retaining. We are seeing that younger folks are not staying in positions for very long, looking to advance in their careers, jumping to another position, maybe within the city or separating from the city for another opportunity outside the city. So yeah, it's a variety of reasons.
Who has this documented? Why people are leaving, whether they want to move positions. Does HR do that?
HR does do that.
Okay. Maybe that would be something. Because you guys aren't the only ones who are losing people.
Right.
It's all over the place. In the
right.
City.
So we do get that feedback, Commissioner. When folks separate from the city, there are exit interviews that are conducted. And it's for those folks that leave the city only. We do get that information. We get a variety of explanations. Some of them are, to be frank, because of the workload, right, that folks are having to take on or better opportunity outside the city.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess my question is, how are you going to keep the new people? And retain them?
That's a great question. We are preparing, I think it's the training of folks and making sure that we continue keeping positions filled, right? So that they can have the resources or the staff resources to be able to get the work done within their specific areas. So that's important. A big item as well that has, I would say, in my opinion, lacked a little bit is our training availability to send folks off to go to training. During the pandemic, of course, everything stopped, right? We couldn't, we were all quarantined, so to speak, or not really quarantined, but we all stayed home. And so folks are hungry right now for that training, and we're starting to open that up for our employees, slowly. But that's, we're trying to figure out how we're going to keep these folks interested, and development is a big deal for folks.
So you're hopeful?
Crossing my fingers, so to speak.
Any other questions of our guest? I see none. Anything further you'd like to add?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next agenda item is the payment process and control update. We do have business services staff available to discuss that.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, we did submit a response to internal audit explaining, number one, the four items or vendors listed, where it listed the four vendors where we showed or discovered that there were duplicate payments. We received refunds for all of those. So we've been, the city has been repaid. And we've updated our processes on how to mitigate the duplication of payments to vendors going forward. So hopefully this has been provided to you for your review, and I'll open it up to any questions.
How many years has this been going on? Because it looks to me like it's probably not something that's new. I'm sorry I wasn't at the last meeting to hear some of this, so I apologize.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, so we just went through a huge ERP implementation. So we converted from Advantage, CGI Advantage, to our new Workday ERP system. So what we discovered is that some of these are due to our, I would say, delay, or perhaps maybe training of folks or learning to navigate the system, learning processes, training folks to understand from the person who originates the invoice to the folks who do the review on the workflow side. And so this really, from what I can tell on this list of duplicate payments that I submitted on the report, this began, these are noted starting October 31st of 22. That is when we went live with our new ERP system.
It was outlined to us at our last meeting that there were some wiggle room in the system where you could get duplicate payments and not really spot them because of the way it was encoded.
I'm not sure where that explanation came from.
Because they aren't duplicate. They're duplicate payments to the vendor.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how that would ever happen. I don't know. But anyhow, there was something in here that I read in the notes that led me to believe that it was some kind of ongoing thing, because it says applying the credits towards a future invoice will no longer be allowed. So somehow, in your previous workflow, did it say that that was okay, just let it ride until we had another invoice? and then they applied that money against the invoice or something? I don't get it.
Well, I could give you an example. So we had an originator, right, who inputted an invoice. The system has a control in it where when you input the invoice number by the vendor, it should set that if we're inputting a duplicate invoice, let's say, that should be where we trigger if an invoice has already been inputted into the system. But what occurred was the person who inputted or the employee who entered the invoice put a dash at the end of the invoice number. So a dash one, let's say the invoice number is 1234, right? What happened was the employee or the individual put a dash at the end, so a dash one. So the system wouldn't have caught it. The system was blocking him already and saying, hey, this isn't working, red flag. And what the person did was they put a dash one and the system took it because it was unique and it didn't exist in the system. So those are that's why we had mandatory training right after we had discovered these several payments. So mandatory training was conducted with those with specific roles in the system so that we train them and so that they understand, right, the process and how to input an invoice and to watch out and make sure that they're not inputting a duplicate or double paying an invoice.
I think you've answered my poorly formed question about wiggle room.
Yeah.
And the new system doesn't allow that. Probably does.
Doesn't allow. I'm sorry, Commission.
Doesn't allow something like putting a dash one in there or a dash or something so they could do the same thing over again.
They can, but that's why we've adopted or we've did some training for folks. And Marcella, can you chime in here? Are we continuing to conduct those trainings for our new employees?
Yes, we provided training in April, and that was for all initiators and reviewers to be familiar with the process and Workday. And then August and September, we provided 8 citywide trainings, in-person trainings, for anyone who wanted, you had new employees or needed their employees to be retrained.
So I have a question about training. Do you have a list then? So everybody who gets trained new, is there some kind of a training plan? Because this will just keep happening. If you hire new people, you can try your hardest to train them, but do you have an honest to goodness documented training plan that says which processes they need to get trained on, which software, and which processes? Does that exist? Because a lot of places in the city may not have that. I know code enforcement doesn't have anything like that. Do you guys have that?
For all of our processes or just this specific one, Commissioner?
Oh, no, for anything that the people that you hire in your department are going to be doing. So all these 7 new people that you just hired, is there a documented training plan for each position?
There will be a memo that is provided to them with set expectations and a training plan that will include that. It's a standard expectations, training, and goals for like the next 6 months and then the annual goals. And so, right. Yes.
But do you have a trainer picked out for these people? So somebody does training
in accounts payable currently. Yes, we do have folks that are trainers, but right now because the system is so new, we have so many vacancies. We're quite not there yet. We're still trying to get through the financials. As you know, when I started off my reporting here, on the BSD update is we're trying to get through that cycle. So many new things came through with this implementation. That we're trying to work through each individual process, because although the BP processes or business processes that we set up in Workday may have needed to be tweaked with our review of the ACFR financial statements this first cycle. So there's some changes that we've made. There are ongoing. We have a current consultant named Deloitte who is currently helping us get through some of the adjustments that we have to make. So I think once we get through all of that, then we'll set up training plans for the individual new folks that come on board. Now, like I had explained, is we're bringing in administrators. I would not want my administrators inputting invoices. So the training plan may be different for the folks that I bring in for this current recent recruitment. I don't want my finance managers inputting invoices. That's why we have accounting techs and senior account clerks and financial specialists. So the training plan is designed differently depending on what position we're filling.
Absolutely. And, yeah. So my question is, you said you have a documented training plan and you have trainers. So do you keep a documented record of when they got trained and if they are competent enough to do the job?
That's a great question. I believe the last training, the mandatory training that we did, we had a list of folks.
But I'm talking about an individual gets a training plan when they hire. And then the department ensures that they got all the 10 or 20 trainings, whatever it is that you planned on giving them. So you guys all know that they are competent at doing whatever they're doing.
If I could interrupt for just a moment, it's my understanding that the problem we unearthed in double payments was a problem with a brand new system and the use of it and some individuality, if you would, in inputting these. And the training you've talked about was hunting down the difficulties and training people to spot them and not to do it again.
Right.
Not that's general exactly. Training of all the new employees coming in.
Yeah.
If the commission would like, I can give an update on the review of, I did a review of payments since the training was conducted. So I looked at fiscal year 24, which means from July through October, October 30. If you'd like an update on what we found payment-wise, I can provide that.
Yeah, that's not really. I mean, you could. I'm not concerned about this specific incident. I'm just concerned about training as a whole, because I don't know what training different departments do at the city with people they hire. Is it just OJT? And then they kind of move on, or do we actually have a documented training plan where somebody gets training on a process, a trainer signs off and said they in fact did learn it, and then you move on to the next topic. And maybe you're doing three or four topics at the same time. But that's what I'm talking about, because with all of these, I mean, you have so many new people at the city, period. It's not just this department. It's just a concern, because I know that code enforcement did not have that training. And I'm not saying they didn't have that documented evidence. And I'm not saying you're code enforcement. And I don't think that all departments operate alike. But I'm just wondering if that could be a future topic maybe that we just review as a whole, because there's no way for these people that are gone to translate or communicate the knowledge that they have if they're gone already. And so then you have to rely on more well-documented training programs in order
In the interest of trying to keep focus, I think that talking about future items, we can do later on the agenda.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Tom. Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 5 is the internal audit quarterly update. Commissioner should have received a copy. If anybody that's virtual would like me to pull it up on screen, I can do that. I'm going to go through the audit update. This will be for the first quarter of 2024, which covers the period of July through September of calendar year 2023. As you are aware, through your approval of the audit plan, it's broken out into multiple sections. The highlighted areas are the items that had movement during the first quarter. So you'll see the first one there is going to be on the first quarter update under the consultant services section, business services and city manager's office, internal audit completed in September of 23, guidance related to possible upcoming employee meal policy, data was provided related to current meal and food purchases, internal revenue service regulations, and city financial system recording capabilities. So that piece is completed. It was basically the research and recommendation part. And then if the city manager's office and or business services chooses to implement a policy, internal audit is available to assist with that also. We also, internal audit also completed for the business services department in July of 2023. We provided assistance reviewing and identifying deposits reported to a suspense holding account. $1.14 million dating back to 2020 were posted to the Spence account. An internal audit helped identify certain items that were related to vendor refunds, grant reimbursements, federal rebates, rental fees, and parking fees to assist business services with the cleanup and classification of those deposits. Okay, any questions on the assurance on the consultant services updates? Then I'll move on to the other two sections. All right, under Independent Audit Performance Commission support, internal audit supported and facilitated two regular IAPC meetings during the first quarter. And under assurance services, do we have any movement? We have movement under procurement cards. So we did complete a citywide review of P-card purchases for the six-month period of November 2022 through April of 23. The objective was to identify high-risk items and determine compliance with city policy and procedures. What we found were only a few computer technology-related purchases by our Office of Economic Initiatives were found to be out of compliance with policy due to not being pre-approved by the Department of Information Technology. We also found $30,000 worth of purchases related to car washes. Although those were within policy, that is an opportunity for efficiencies, maybe bringing on a procured contract for those types of services if it's of use to departments throughout the city. So those were the things that came up. Happy to field any questions about the internal audit first quarter update.
Do we have questions?
No questions here.
Do I have a motion?
If we need any action on it, unless the commission wants to assign me something to agree.
Okay.
All right. Our next agenda item is number six, review of the draft letter to the mayor's office. We also, so last meeting, we had the commission discussion. Direction to city staff was to help revise based on the discussion. That is what you have as your agenda material for number six, is the revision based on discussion. I can bring that up on screen if anybody would like or didn't receive the materials.
I have two questions. In the first paragraph, if a little bit of concern as to whether or not the city charter requires the Independent Audit Performance Commission was a statute established, was it not?
I believe so. So that might need updated to reflect per the statute instead of the city charter.
Well, I think they amended the city charter, but it was based on a statute that mayor and council enacted.
Correct.
I included in the third paragraph and in the sentence, city needs an the processes used by the city to meet these needs and expectations should be audited and reviewed to verify, and I included the word that. I was also a little confused as to who, in fact, was the constituency. Ms. Powell, can you enlighten me on that? Commissioner Powell.
So who's the constituency? What paragraph?
It's the...
Just in general? Oh, it would just be the entire, anybody who lives in the city. Because that's who we're representing, basically. At least that's how I thought about it.
My problem with that is I don't think we answer to any public. The answer to the mayor and council and the city manager, primarily.
Bruce Burke here. Could that paragraph, that short paragraph, come out without doing any harm to the letter?
The point of the audits is to look at processes to determine, you know, whether they're performing correctly. And, you know, since I've been on the commission, we haven't looked at budget constraints, but that turns out to be just a given. But you want to have something in this letter about processes. Although, that one's up in paragraph 3. But I think... Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that. It was really, how do we get, what can you say that it appeals to the mayor's office that you can actually get them to appoint somebody?
Well, I think the point being made in the paragraph below the one we're discussing gets right to the point about what we, you know, we need to be at full capacity and so on.
Commissioners, like me to revise it, remove that paragraph?
Well, I was just suggesting that as a way to, you know, to shorten it a bit and also avoid the controversy about what our constituency is.
Commissioner Pollack, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I don't really have a lot of heartburn about that. I do think, though, that we're representing everybody in our ward. So, because we're allowed to, you know, get our ideas from all over. So it's not like we're just making these things up that we cover. And we're not just getting our ideas from the council people. But, you know, it's not a huge deal for the letter.
It's just an appeal letter. So if that makes it read better or whatever, I'm fine with that.
Well, I think the letter reads fine. I'm not being critical of the letter. I just was trying to address the question of constituency. And if we took that out, I think it does no harm and it advances to the points that we want to make.
Oh, yeah. I honestly, I don't have any problem with that.
Are there any other comments or suggestions in terms of the form of the letter?
Well, if we take that out, do you want a motion, Mr. Chair?
I think if Commissioner Pollack has agreed, that I don't know that we have to.
Okay, fine.
Make a motion on that as an action. I do, however, have another issue. Before our next meeting, we are going to have a mayoral election. And I'm just wondering if the timing of this letter is appropriate or when, in fact, it should be submitted.
I would say ASAP, because even if a new candidate's elected, gets elected, it doesn't take effect until January, right? So why would we want to wait? But
I just brought up the question. Let's have some discussion.
Mr. Burke, I don't have strong feelings about it, but my thought would be that if we got it out this week, it would probably land on the mayor's desk end of week, and election is next Tuesday. And then I don't know that if you're worried about creating a controversy or any issue there, I don't see it.
I'm just wondering if it would be noticed in that fury of, in the midst of.
That I can't predict.
Anyone else have any thoughts on it?
This is Commissioner Hunter. I don't feel strongly either way. I see your point. It might get overlooked, but it's hard to say if that would happen.
Any other discussion on any of the things we've talked about in this letter?
I thought the additions to the letter were really good, actually, bringing up some points about Albuquerque and El Paso having more auditors. And that was some interesting information.
I think the letter is ready for prime time, and let's move it forward.
Do I have a motion on that?
Yes. I'll move that with the removal of that small paragraph referenced in our discussion that we approve the letter and send it to the mayor's office.
I have a second.
That was just with one check that you guys were, Aaron was going to do on whether it was the city charter on the first paragraph.
Correct. And the addition of the word that and the removal of paragraph number 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll incorporate those thoughts into the motion.
And I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? Aaron, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Burke.
Yes.
Commissioner Hunter.
Yes.
Chairperson Clark.
Yes.
Vice Chair Pollack.
Yes.
Motion passes by voice vote.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work you did on it, Commissioner Powell.
Yes, thank you.
Agenda item number 7 is call to the audience.
We have an audience. We had one at the beginning, didn't we?
Let's see. We have no one in person and no virtual participants.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw one when we started.
I think we had Lois on here and on the phone number.
Ah, okay.
Agenda item number 8 is the discussion of future agenda items.
Commissioner Pollack, it's time to talk about the wider wider reach that you wanted to get to.
Yeah. I see we still have a list of things we wanted to look at, a few things. But I think that I'd like people to give some consideration to whether we should look at training that is actually planned and taking place with city personnel, new city personnel, and then those who are still here, since the turnover is enormous. It's in every department, everywhere. I don't know where you'd start with that, but I would say probably with the Human Resources Department, although they're probably not responsible for any training. They're probably just doing the regular things HR does, which is set people up with benefits and on the payroll and stuff like that. So, but they do have the exit interview information, hopefully.
I was just a little concerned because we noticed that in the code enforcement audit, they had very specific duties, and the city is a big panoply of many, many departments. I'm assuming that the training for the tech people are very different from those from the financial field. And I guess the first question is, are you looking at a overall training program for the entire city staff? Or are we talking about looking into the individual departments to determine whether or not there's training?
You know, that's a good question. But right now, maybe the first topic would be, why are people leaving and what's the turnover rate? And then maybe and turnover is hard to measure. People do it differently, but they give you a percentage and, you know, then it becomes just another good or bad statistic. But, you've got to wonder about the training after a while. All you could really do is sample a department and see how they do the training. But there's some very specific things that they could or that they could be doing or that they are doing, maybe. I don't know, but it would be kind of interesting to know whether they actually have training plans.
Yeah.
And I know that code enforcement doesn't do it. So that's one department we've already looked at.
Yeah.
They've had more turnover in there. But
Commissioner Pollack, in the code enforcement findings was training one of the recommendations?
Yeah.
All right. So to help with the discussion, sounds like, so the city of Tucson, we do have like a new employee onboarding process, which used to exist at a certain level, like classroom instruction of some sort, current state. I'm not 100% sure of, but that would be kind of general city processes that relate to employees, such as HR and benefits and things like that.
Dress code?
Set up by departments. So then the discussion that you had with business services today kind of focused in on what a department training would look like, which is going to be separate from new employee general onboarding. That would be more similar to what you looked at in code enforcement, which is what is the training specific to this job function? And it kind of gets to what Vivian was speaking about earlier today. Then you also have the exit interviews, which HR does and provides those metrics. Those are usually pretty generic in the responses. To get meaningful responses when people are leaving, we don't usually get
Yeah.
super good things.
Unless they're angry.
Yeah, if they're angry, yeah. Then you have to paint it with that picture too. So when the disgruntled ones leave or grievances happen, those usually flow through the union processes, which is a different piece. If you are concerned about the training, that could be an underlying, if it doesn't exist, it could be a quick and easy thing for the commission to look at, because something like the findings related to duplicate payments, the department action plan is training is in place. The commission can then request that you were right there with the, you can request to look at the training plan and then did it address the issues. If a training plan is not in place, it's an easy recommendation for the commission to make, just like you did with code enforcement. Baseline training must be in place so that users can do whatever their job function is. And that could be specific to whatever department you want to look at.
I think it would be a good thing to look at what the turnover rate is and try to, I mean, are we talking about 3% or 30%? And
I think one of the things you might want to ascertain first is there any level of city government where the turnover is such that it impedes its functioning? Is there more turnover, for instance, in the business services than there is in parks?
Yeah, so looking at it by department would be a good thing to do. And it's probably levels, too. So is it mid and upper management, or is it below that? So, yeah, maybe just I totally understand that, you know, turnover is a big problem in a lot of places right now for various reasons, but sometimes people say that stuff, but they really don't have the statistics behind it to show who is leaving. I mean,
there's also the problem of unexpected consequences. We have a great training program for our police and law enforcement, and that does not seem to help the retention one bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I wouldn't be looking at retention, training program and retention. However, I do know that a lot of people, if they're disgruntled with their training, they'll leave. But the thing you want to look at is if we have errors being made and we don't do enough audits and we don't even read the audits that the internal audit department is doing, we don't know where errors are being made that could have been addressed through training. But anyhow, I would be interested in looking at separations and what parts of the organization they're from, what departments, and then what level. Is it all this, the upper level, lower level? I mean, just to get a general overview of what's happening, because you have a huge impact to the city and the processes if the corporate knowledge leaves the company. And then, yeah, it just taxes the rest of everybody else. And you can't deliver services like you used to. I'm getting some really weird answers when I call people on the phone. Yesterday, I got sent like a ping pong ball back and forth between code enforcement and planning and development. They do it. No, they do it. No, they do it. No, yeah. I couldn't get an answer. You know, and you call up different departments and they can't help you. It's getting very frustrating for people, and it's just myself I'm looking at, and I ask other people and they're getting the same thing. It's very frustrating for the residents. Anyhow, I just want to propose that one for the future.
For clarity, the possible future agenda item I have is turnover ratio, both citywide and department specific. If possible, then by job classification and length of service, and anywhere where whoever we bring in feels it might be impeding providing baseline services.
I heard a comment that human resources may not be the monitor of these things, and I'm not sure where you're going to look for those kinds of information.
I'm not immediate. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm going to start with HR and If the commission wants to add that as a future agenda item, I will attempt to line up staff. If that doesn't exist, I will give an update myself to the commission under that agenda item.
Thank you. And do we want the police force back? It's been kind of a future agenda item that's floated along.
Yes, we have. Do I need to do anything to officially add the turnover ratio? Are we good? Do we need commissioners to agree to it?
I'll agree. Bruce Burke. And apologies, I now need to check out.
I will lose quorum.
Is there a motion? I can hold for a second.
Just asking you to look into it for us.
Okay, I'll look into it. Retention, the commissioners are on board with. Also wanted to know TPD retention follow-up. And are there any other items for the next meeting?
Have we dealt with completely the traffic issues?
I do have a pending. Once staff frees up for the safety statistics, most current ones when they come out, and for the anything that they have related to the traffic enforcement ban statistics on what they're looking at there. So those two, it's as soon as staff is available.
There was an article over the weekend in the paper with respect to the risk on our highways.
Yeah, Tim Steller's article.
Yeah.
Just traffic fatalities and pedestrian fatalities in general. Didn't get any better.
No.
Unfortunately.
I don't think completed
track. Am I needed?
I think we got future agenda items. We can adjourn if you'd like.
Yeah, I don't think we need you for adjournment.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you all.
Thank you. I think that's it. We've lost quorum. And
thank you, commissioners. I appreciate your input.
Thank you. Hey, Aaron, you have a knack for listening and feeding back to us what we said.
Yeah.
But better. Yeah. So thanks.
Part of my job. I got to do the minutes for the meeting. So it's part of what I need to do. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.